You're listening to Dr. Bill Cortestis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi on It's Complicated, the podcast that uncomplicates the mental and physical aspects of life and the aesthetic surgery to help anyone committed to achieving their personal best. Through the stories of the past and present patients, Drs. Cortestis and Bahardi share their unique vision for the future of aesthetic medicine and bring perspective for the leading edge of medicine, innovation, and entrepreneurship.
Hey, Bill Gus, what should we uncomplicate today?
Well, gee, there's this part of what we do is beautifying the body and the face. And, you know, we always get asked this question of, what do we consider beautiful? And we have textbooks after textbook after textbook that talk to us about ratios, symmetry,
objective
angles,
right?
Very objective measurements. And then you have social media that talks about this, that, and the other. And you have a patient who comes in and they say, "Doc, I just want to be beautiful. Make me beautiful." And we get asked this all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I know my answer, but let's talk about it. Let's try to uncomplicate the question of what is beauty.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a kind of a dichotomous view, and this is kind of famous G-speak, meaning I'll say it's hot and it's cold. When somebody has an issue, I'll tell them to hold firm but gentle pressure. And I think this applies to beauty. It has been studied. There are quite a few publications. There's just repeated patterns that have been shown in over, you know, hundreds and thousands of years, going way back into history, of some of the concept of what's beauty from a standpoint of symmetry, proportions, skin tone, lips, the smile, the golden ratio of 1 to 1.618. There's this concept of, for example, Bella Hadid was declared the most beautiful woman in the world after she passed a scientific test rating her at 95% of the golden ratio. You know, and if you were to look at all those people, we'd probably look at them and say, yeah, they are stunning. They are beautiful. It just looks like they're almost like manicured type of individuals. But then the tangent is, real beauty is because people are so incredibly unique and so incredibly different. It's like art, right? You know, it's part of being beautiful is actually having some flaw, some asymmetry, some fundamental, not issue, but there's something there that actually shows that that is a unique person, creature.
You know, from a story in our past, weren't we at dinner recently and one of our friends commented on a mole on the waitress's and said, "Wow, that's very attractive." And where some people might say it's not, you know, that gentleman said, "Yeah, it's pretty attractive." And that goes to my thinking. You know, and I think I've talked about this before, and gee, you know this about me. I think everybody's beautiful. It's so amazing. Like, I find beauty in every person that comes to see me, every person I interact with, for different reasons, right? Oh, like, I think their eyes are stunning. I think their confidence is just quite amazing, or I just love their humor. And I think it's that uniqueness and that difference that is pretty spectacular. And that's the one thing I tell every patient that comes in. They're like, they ask me that question, "I want to be beautiful." I'm like, "Well, you already are," without a doubt. And that's what I think our goal is to try to enhance or make those individuals be a better version of themselves. And so we just try to kind of tweak or enhance or change that part of their own body that they're self-conscious about, or they feel that they're not meeting certain standards on. Like, hey, we can do this to help you. And it's pretty remarkable. So I'll take the contrarian approach a little bit, G, on this, and just say I find everybody attractive for different reasons.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. So much of that has to do with other things that lead to people being attractive, whether sometimes that's just simply confidence and how they carry themselves. But what's interesting is that I kind of like to strip things down and go back to like survival. And you know, if you didn't have all these technologies and all these, you know, amazing things that we have kind of evolved into and developed as humans, and that one of the kind of older concepts for beauty is that people would want to, like for women, for example, a curvy woman, a woman who has breast volume, these things would be indicative of fertility. And that would be indicative of someone who can be able to procreate and continue life and keep the human race going. So some of those, I think there are some of those fundamental kind of like drives, those kind of animalistic urges that are in there that are programmed. But then in combination with that, there is these other societal kind of pressures, almost like fashion, right? It's like, you know, what you consider, you can't wear like the same style clothing for your whole entire lifetime or you would totally look odd. Like it's like, but you see that there's swings in fashion also, such as like, you know, I don't know, examples like tight leggings. And now that they're wearing, and now there's recently like girls are starting to wear the Lululemon kind of flared leggings now. And it's like these swings. I think sometimes there are some of those things from a standpoint of beauty and what's considered beautiful that societal pressures put on people to adjust and change. Maybe even hairstyles, bangs. Women will wear bangs, and then they won't be wearing bangs, or they'll do shorter haircuts or longer hair or layered haircuts. So I think some of those things are kind of, you know, very interesting, unique. But for again, when we're talking about face, like we were talking about facial procedures, it's very interesting that if you see someone who is a beautiful person, but if they had a really weak and retrusive chin, okay, or they have like almost like a retrognathic look, which means the jawline is pushed back. By enhancing and bringing the jawline forward or adding a little bit of volume here, the way that that patient's face behaves, if you were to rate 10 people to rate that patient, they would all likely rate that person as more attractive. So I think there are some objective things that do actually improve quote proportions and lead to maybe a sense of most people thinking that that individual would be more beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, as a person who does a lot of body contouring, you know, we always talk about this waist to hip ratio. Mm-hmm. And what I find pretty unique is that depending on the part of the world that you live in, that waist to hip ratio number is different. So just that number alone, again, we can talk specifics about this, but in general, it's cultural and regional. And it really just depends on the part of the world that you're in.
Same thing with breasts too, right, Bill? The upper pole to lower pole?
Yeah, same ratios. You know, it's like how much fullness do you want up top versus down low? And mm-hmm. depending on if you're in Sweden versus you're in South Texas, mm-hmm. right? And so just those particular two parts of the world, there's a completely different look that most individuals would consider the ideal. And so neither one is wrong. Neither one is not beautiful. I think they're all beautiful, but there's just a different sign of beauty. And that in itself is complicated, right? It's like, well, and for us as docs, we got to figure out, hey, what does this patient really want? Is this the look they're going for? Or mm-hmm. is this the look that they're going for? And how best can we help them kind of achieve that ultimate look?
Yeah, it is. It is extremely complicated. And I think that's the thing, what's special about it is it is very unique and has to be customized. And I think there are different pressures that beauty imposes on people. You know, one is just this idea of being looking healthy and well. The other is some of them, for some people, it's their livelihood, meaning for them to look young and beautiful is important, or even just to be competitive and maintain a job or getting a job in the workplace where now we have people living longer. We have males and females who are in middle age or upper middle age or in their 50s and 60s who still want to work, and they need to feel like they are competitive with their younger counterparts. And whether that's beauty or not, that's also almost like a survival thing for them to have, you know, be able to provide for themselves and their families. And I think that has to do with that. And so this idea of looking tired, looking haggard, there's a negative connotation with it. And so that's probably another aspect of feeling beautiful is to be like, look rested, look like, you know, you are very healthy. So there's a different concepts, but I think there's probably a tie between beauty and health also. And so the other pivot is that we as the providers need to make sure that these patients are healthy, that they are doing the things that lead to health, wellness, aesthetic wellness, and overall true generalized wellness are extremely important that I think most people actually struggle with just as much as they are from a standpoint of actually taking care of their external, you know, attributes.
You know, I think as a society, we're living longer. And we have to think about this continuum of care for much, much, much longer than we did previously. Mm-hmm. In one of the prior episodes, we talked about what you do today is going to affect how things are tomorrow. And the longer that we live, the more we ultimately have to kind of think of these things. And we got to think of beauty along different ages and age groups to be the kind of the best version of who we are.
Yeah. Do you think beauty is genetically coded? Do you think that it's determined by your parents or their ancestry?
If that's the case, thank God for my wife, because otherwise my kids wouldn't have that beauty if it wasn't for her. So thank God for that. No, I think there's a combo, right? I do think there is some genetic component of features. And sometimes taking features from two individuals that are not ethnically the same and mixing them creates even more beauty. So that, again, this is back to this difference thing. I think, you know, having some difference really does, it's stunning and it catches people's eyes.
And I think that's really, it's really incredible because you think about, you know, this concept of how many patients have you seen? And I know you do a lot more body, but you've done plenty of facial things and plenty of rhinoplasties to know that, you know, when people are like, I just can't have this familial nose. I still want to look like me, but I just can't have this big hump. And it's really remarkable in like cases like that where you do that modification, where in truth, what you're really doing is a couple millimeter modification, changing rotation, changing projection a little bit. Maybe you're addressing the chin a little bit with a millimeter or two advancement. And it's such a dramatic change. But what's really dramatic is how that impacts that individual, because they were so self-conscious of that. And whether that's a founded reason to be self-conscious or societal pressure or whatever it is, I still love what we do. I love when we get to have patients come in and just have that kind of, that smile, that sense of relax and being happy and wish they, the best comment is, I wish I would have done it earlier, right? There's nothing better. And like being able to pass that down and have our other surgeons do that, it's super satisfying. But when it isn't like that, or it's not approached in the right way and we misunderstand it, which we don't, but it could happen, that's when you have issues. And so I think this is just like this idea of really figuring out what's somebody's issue or what's a way that we can help someone. And this, you can make all kinds of analogies in life about the same thing. It's so great though when you can help somebody achieve their personal best. And I think sometimes that is in how they look and how they feel. And typically it's a win-win thing when it goes well.
So, you know, back to your original question, right? You asked, is beauty genetically coded? And if that's the case, then how do we kind of solve for beauty changing, or what the standards of beauty are? Are they changing or are they not changing? And how does that affect into your thought pattern?
You know, it's hard to say. I think it is always changing. And the question is, I think you can do like, if you did like kind of broad evaluation of our population, you know, it'd be interesting to see is, you know, are our features, our phenotypic features, meaning our external features, are they staying the same? Are people taller now? Are people shorter now? Do people have bigger noses now? Are people hairier now? Because there are other environmental things that could be affecting those things. So I think some of those things are changing. You know, we're all mixed up. I think is what you mentioned, something like that. And if you keep a lineage, it's like with dogs and how dogs are bred, right? You know, if you keep everything very tight, you can have the kind of the same look over and over again, but then you get recessive traits that come out. And this concept of recessive traits are traits that are undesirable, where even a lot of the, you know, when you bring like an egg or sperm and egg together and you have fertilization, if there's a bad recessive trait, they just typically don't survive. But if they do and there's a recessive trait, then they could have significant issues. And it's interesting because there's almost this force in nature that wants to bring opposites together, because the outcome after that is going to be something unique that hasn't been around before. So it's interesting, this idea of when it pertains to beauty and why you see like a biracial family, like we have a biracial family and our children are beautiful. And you have these features that are just brought together. And I think that's really remarkable. So I think if we, you know, narrowed things down in the future, maybe in the future, we all become one race, one look. And the question is, would nature support that? And I don't think it would. I think that there's some incredible checks and balances that exist in nature by whatever greater being that you believe in. And it's really interesting to think about that.
Great perspective. Let's tie this back to patients. You know, patients come in all the time. Again, they show us pictures, they show us things on social media. And they're like, doc, I want to look like this. I want to be beautiful. When do you think it's too much or it's too far? They're trying to do too much to attain that level?
And that's a great question. Sometimes you can just feel it. I don't know how to explain it anymore. If I get that eerie feeling like, oh, I don't know, something's not right there. I think that's where you have to trust your heart. You have to trust your mind with that. And not only do you say, you know, I think you should go see an expert or I might not be the right doc for you. It's like, can we talk a little bit more about that? You know, part of this is like figuring out what's going on with this patient, learning about them, who they are, what they are, and what's motivating them. Because I think so many people are just going to ignore it and just do what they want. And sometimes it's fine, you know, and other times I think there's something that really could be hidden there that you could potentially change their life. I'm not going to say that there's some patients that I have that, you know, like to get a little done and they are so happy. And there's some of my best patients also. So it's hard to tell you exactly how many have you, what about you? What's your, you've been doing this longer than me. You're a little more elderly statesman than I am.
Slightly, just a little bit. But I tell you, I think what I find interesting is the fact that, like, I think it's okay now to talk about our feelings. And mental health is in the forefront of our lives. And it is okay to talk about it. And, you know, at some point, I would love us to do a topic on mental health and plastic surgery. But I think this kind of dives a little bit into it, where I think sometimes patients ultimately get procedures done for underlying reasons. And what I found out sometimes is like when it doesn't match or mimic what they're suggesting, or they're upset about the way they look about something, and it's more than what's obvious to us, there's always something underlying. And I've gotten really good about just saying, hey, this doesn't align. This doesn't match up. What's really going on here? Be open with me. Talk to me. And sometimes it's, hey, my spouse pointed this out to me. Or I had a childhood trauma where a sibling made fun of me for this attribute on my body. And it's okay to talk about that stuff, right? Like, as doctors, we need to know the reason why individuals are going to do something. And we can say, hey, you know, back to this sense of beauty. I'm sorry you got picked on about this. I'm sorry that somebody at school pointed this out to you, but this is actually okay. This in our world is considered beautiful. You don't have to do something. Or if you can say, okay, I understand and I hate that that happened to you, but this can be taken care of. I mean, I think the key here, G, is just to be open with our patients, have these conversations. Don't be afraid to ask them what their impetus behind getting certain procedures are, so we can direct them appropriately to what we see as standards for beauty collectively in our practice, right?
Yeah. And I like what you said. And honestly, it's sticking to me, because the truth is everybody is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. If you really were to break it down and think about it, even something that is totally ugly, when you really think about it, is beautiful, because just all life is kind of beautiful and humans are all beautiful. Trees are beautiful. So I think part of that is, you know, this idea of helping patients realize that they are beautiful. And if there's something they want to refine, improve, change, modify, we're there to do that. And, you know, we would love to do that. But I think making sure that we understand what they want and making sure that they are mentally okay. And I think we just got to invest that time. And I really appreciate that kind of view. And I think I'll even more invest in that and trying to make that bond with each patient. And part of that is us, meaning making time to actually try to find that common ground with that patient. And if we don't feel like we've gotten there, then maybe we need to tell them, you know, come back in, or let's talk about this again before your procedure. You know, today is meant to be just an informative session. Let's make sure you totally understand kind of the options here and what you want to do. And one of the things that you always told me, and I think Joe did this too, Hunstead, to tell a patient, use me as a resource. You don't have to have a procedure by me, but I'm here to help you any way that I can. Our team's here to help you any way that we can. I think that's probably the best outlook.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we want to help people in any way we can. We love what we do. We love patients. We love aesthetic surgery. We love to teach. We want to guide people appropriately. Unfortunately, in our specialty, there's the money aspect of it, right? And I think that's the downfall of healthcare as a whole is the financial piece. And it blurs the line a little bit when you do things for financial benefit. And I think you and I do a good job of letting patients know, hey, we don't have to do something. You know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, but we're just here to help you and for you to achieve your personal best, right? It goes back to kind of what we do every day, but not for financial gain.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's this thing where everybody in any kind of medical setting, it is probably important for patients to know, and this is a different topic, but it is a business. And those businesses have to be run well, because if they're not, then they can't provide the care that they need to. So I think, and patients, I think, are very sensitive to this. They know that. And that goes back to this idea of the patient experience. So part of a really great business is providing an amazing experience to a patient. So you have to run well. And when you're dealing with patients like we have, these are generally people who are all very healthy, and they are hyper-focused on specific aesthetic improvements and refinements to help them achieve what they call beautiful. And the important thing to remember is this is extraordinarily important. And I think our society, the American society, is becoming much more aware of this and embracing it. And I'm happy that they are, because the truth is this has huge implications on overall generalized senses of well-being. And when done appropriately, can be used as something that can bolster mental well-being also, but if done incorrectly or on the wrong patient, can be deleterious, meaning it could cause potentially other issues. And so it is really amazing the power of what beauty, what's perceived as beauty, or what we can do to further someone's sense of beauty can do. Most of it is all phenomenal and great, but we have to be careful with it. It's an amazing power that we hold with patients, and one that needs to be really respected and not taken, you know, lightly.
This is a great topic. And I don't know if we made it uncomplicated or if we just complicated it more.
Sometimes that's what happens, and that's okay.
Beauty is that ever desirable thing that we're all trying to achieve. But in reality, I think we're all there already. So, And that's the dilemma. And we have to find that beauty within ourselves every day. And it's hard.
And sometimes it's like money. How much do you really need? What are you chasing? What are you searching for? A little different, but the same kind of concepts of like you're always striving for a certain level. And when you get to that level, maybe you want that next level. And I think you make a good point. It's like, you got to know when you're satiety or when you're full. When you're full, you should enjoy being full. We should enjoy being in a great position. That's hard. And I'm guilty of it all the time. And I think our patients find themselves in that situation too, but we can help them with it.
You know, it's one of my favorite books, The Alchemist. And for all the listeners who haven't read it, read it, but it's one of my all-time favorites. But for a synopsis, protagonist of the story is trying to find something. And in reality, after searching and searching and searching, it was always where he started. And so we go down this road of trying to search for whatever it is, and it's already there. So it's got a good meaning behind it. But in essence, I think that's beauty in itself, right? Again, we're searching for it in any way we can, but it's already there within us. And that's to the point where I say we're all beautiful, but we can enhance that beauty even more with what we do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, listeners, let us know what's complicating your world. We want to hear from you, so send us your burning questions and we'll answer them on the podcast. Check the show notes for the link to send your question. And to be notified when a new episode of our podcast is available, please click the link in the show notes to sign up for email notifications. Follow us on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery.
Links to learn more about anything mentioned on today's show are available in the show notes. To learn more about Dr. Bill Cortesis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi and the entire team of HKB Cosmetic Surgery, just go to hkbsurgery.com or follow HKB on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery. Subscribe to our newsletter for key takeaways from each episode, links to any resources we discuss, and promo codes or giveaways from HKB and our partners. If this show has helped you in any way, if you learned something, write a review on Apple Podcasts and share the podcast with a friend. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more. It's Complicated is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.